eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
Finally, former Steeler defensive coordinator Bud Carson died today at the age of 75. Carson was the architect of the Iron Curtain. Steel Curtain, rather.
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
Write down the numbers, use everyone's ratings, average them, figure out what everyone thinks the spread would be. We're all kind of on the same page about what these spreads are. It would be alarming to people to figure out when we get to that game, even if there's no injury, how much different numbers can change.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Yesterday on You Better You Bet, Ken, stop laughing at me. I know.
I killed Bud
Carson in 2005.
Iron Curtain.
The Iron Curtain. And
I'm Chris Ranji for WSVT or Soviet Union Radio Network. You're going to talk about the Iron Curtain.
Okay. Now, may we move on now, comrade? So we can talk some Big 12.
How am I supposed to do college football off that? How am I supposed to do that off that open?
Hey, listen. If all we did was a show of my mistakes, we could do this all week, every segment. All right.
Absolutely amazing.
I know. Well, I'm an idiot. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I think it's too late to improve now. Don't you?
Yeah. I guess I'm getting like NBA news sent to me by Rick, and I don't know what I'm more flabbergasted by, the way this segment opened or like what the Lakers continue to do with their roster. It's just like, Chris Ranji's apologizing, and apparently Talen Horton-Tucker's now worth $10 million a year. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, God.
What is...
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
THT?
Three years, $32 million for the Lakers. Well...
Must be nice to be like...
That is per
really
Adrian
not even
Brown.
Close to a starter in the NBA and get $10 million. Just be like the way GMs talk about it, be like, well, do you see him as a starter? Like, nah, like role player, like bench guy. You know, 15 minutes a game. All right, let's offer him $10 million. All right.
Hey, everybody was crapping all over the D-Rob move yesterday, but there were a lot of people who were like, yeah, that actually kind of sounds right. I mean, it doesn't, but apparently that's kind of what it would have been somewhere else. But anyway.
I don't know. All right, we got to get to college football Miami, just because I know we're gonna run out of time. It's going to be miserable.
I mean, let's go. We did this yesterday with the SEC. We're going to do the Power 5 conferences all week long. Today it is the Big 12 with actually not 12 teams. They've only got 10. But we still call them. Right. We still call them the Big 12. So
I sure do. Love them. Very big. Yeah.
I love it. The Big Ten has 50 teams. Anyway, so let's go ahead and do this. We're going to go in alphabetical order like we did yesterday. I think it's the best way to do it. And we've got the win totals for each team here. Ken is going to go through them and tell you how to approach each one. So let's start things off with Baylor.
Yeah, and it's a logical place to start, right? Let's start. Alphabetical order helps me out so much. For the people listening, we're going to do every conference in alphabetical order because it's just, it allows me to give like really concise thoughts on every team. And we're going to do same methodology we did yesterday. A little less on the conference intro. Most important thing to know about the Big 12, and it'll come up with Baylor here, which is why I bring it up right now. Each conference kind of functions differently of handicapping the win totals within it. The Big 12 is a conference where you basically, if you take Oklahoma out at the top, and you take Kansas out at the bottom, you have to at least leave the option that every single other team that remains, all eight of them, like convince yourself that it is possible all eight of them are not separated by very much. Even if the market tells you differently, even if the market says this year Texas is good and Oklahoma State's good and TCU is pretty good and Baylor and Kansas State are bad. Even if they try to do, and Texas Tech is bad. Even if they try to do that, every year we are proven wrong by the teams in the Big 12 that are not Kansas and Oklahoma, some of them being propped up as good, some of them being propped up as not good. And we, as we kind of illustrated in, you know, one of the earlier lessons, lesson two or lesson three, the macro one, playing teams back toward the middle. The Big 12 is a perfect example of trying to do that. Just acknowledge that it's possible all of these teams are almost exactly the same. Even if you don't want to believe it, even if you think there are some big differences between them, we are frequently proven wrong in regard to that. So with that in mind, I have many win totals in the Big 12. Baylor is not one of them, although if I were to bet it, I would play over. They're a team with a win total of 5.5 this season. Historically, teams with a win total of 5.5 are extremely valuable. Non-SEC teams, 5.5. It's like a 70-75% angle. If I were to play it, that's the direction that I would take. There are some things here that are pretty concerning where, I think it's more of a lean than something I actually want to put money behind. If we go to the schedule, likely wins, likely losses, they end up 3-5 with 4 games left, and they need to win 3 of those basically to hit this number. Now there's a BYU in there. We don't really know how good they're going to be this year. Then you have the usual suspects around them like Kansas State and Texas Tech and West Virginia. The recruiting numbers are also pitiful, to be honest. I mean, this is the worst Baylor has recruited in about 9 years in terms of their 4-year recruiting average. All of their other metrics are not particularly special. So it's like a strong belief in Dave Aranda as a head coach maybe gets you to the finish line here. I don't really know how I feel about him as like a year two guy who definitely takes a program and takes a step forward. Quarterback talent is good, but not like something I'm really confident in and excited about like I am with a couple other teams that have pretty low win totals in this range. So I think, you know, maybe it's a little more likely than not that Baylor goes over their number. I might end up playing over on them. I don't think anyone's particularly bullish on them, which I think is going to give me some options later on if I want to hop in. But just the overall profile of the team, it kind of looks like this number is pretty close to right, even though the 5.5 kind of screams over with any team and is worth consideration. So I'll call it an over lean right now. Historically, I would never bet under on teams in this range in non-SEC power conferences. So if you find yourself in that situation with any of the teams we're going to go over, like, just do yourself a favor. Like, you don't want unders on these teams. Like, you get burned by them all the time. It's over or pass. I'm pass right now. Just all of the numbers just don't look particularly good. I may add an over ticket later just if I get a good price.
Last season, Iowa State had the best season they've ever had. They finished with 3 losses. They were a 9-win team. They went 8-1 in their conference. Iowa State for this year is the next team.
Yeah, and this is going to be a win total bet for me, and it's going to make everybody mad. I bet the under already at 9.5, and the funny thing here is it's actually really tough to find a comp historically with what Iowa State's doing this year. So to put this in perspective, their 4-year recruiting average. So if you had like the best recruiting class, you would get a 1 for that year, and then like a 2 or a 3 if you were 2nd or 3rd. Iowa State's 4-year recruiting average is 50.5. Every single year that Matt Campbell's been the head coach, even though the team has gotten a lot better, they recruit way, way, way below the Big 12 average. They generally actually haven't had a lot of seasons where they return a lot. And yet, because he's an amazing coach, they've outperformed expectation a lot. They win 7 or 8 games basically every single year. It's like actually amazing, except now we have a really lofty win total to deal with. I think that's like kind of problematic. Iowa State is going to end up, and remember what I said, right? If you're not Oklahoma at the top and you're not Kansas, at the bottom, leave options open, that it's all a little more compressed than you think it is. That there's not, maybe Texas and Iowa State aren't going to overachieve like everyone bets them to do every single year. Maybe that's not actually, maybe Texas Tech and Kansas State and Baylor aren't going to be awful and get run over by everybody in the league. Maybe everybody's going to finish with like seven. Maybe that's actually going to happen if you're not Oklahoma and Kansas. Iowa State plays five games this year. So if you go by likely wins, likely losses, it's a little deceiving. You end up 8-1 with three games left, and you only need to win two of three to hit the number, which is the Cy-Hawk game where preliminary look ahead number is, I think Iowa State by five is what I saw, at West Virginia, at Texas Tech. So you're like, all right, well, 8-1, some winnable games left. I trust Matt Campbell. I trust the talent. Like, what's the problem? It's a little deceiving because Iowa State has five games this season, almost half their schedule, where they are like, almost exactly a touchdown favorite over another Big 12 team. The reason that is particularly problematic is that we know from history that the Big 12 teams are all a little more compressed. Numbers a little less than seven would move into the toss-up category. So Iowa State basically have five games where it's like 7, 7.1, 7.1, 7.1, 7.2. And you're like, okay, well, if my number is off even a little bit here, these really start to move into toss-ups really, really fast. So if you take very likely wins, very likely losses, so 14-point spread or more each side, like ones we feel great about, they're 3-1 with eight games left. They have to win seven of them. 3-1 with, eight games left, and they have to win seven of those. So, like, you got to really, like, you have to either think your number is so good that nothing could possibly change to make this bet. I think it's more likely they're just a really good 9-3 team. And, like, I don't actually think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback. Like, did anybody watch last season? They're just like good. They're just like the best version of this. The market's also expecting them to do something they've literally never done before, which is win 10 games. They've never won nine games under Matt Campbell. So like they could have the best season they've ever had under Campbell. I mean, going back way, way, way before that too, because there were a bunch of terrible coaches. They didn't recruit very well before that. But like if they have a historically amazing season, there's actually still room to come in under this number. Like that's the crazy part. That's how high the expectations are. That's, in my opinion, how crazy the market is with this team. Nine would be a total pass. You need 9.5. I would pay a little bit for it. 40 cents is about right, I think. In this particular case with this team, it's just all the, you really like all those games. You're going to look at the schedule and be like, well, they can beat that team. They can beat that. I'm just telling you, they're like a 6-7 point favorite over every single one of those teams. And the history of the Big 12 tells us like, we really can't trust numbers that are that small. Those teams all tend to kind of come back to the pack as a clump collectively.
Kansas usually good for like two or three wins. Last year they were good for zero. Their win total for this year is, well, I'll give you this. You can give the win total. They're 150 they're 150 to one to win the conference. So
they should be a million to one. Like what, if I was a book, I would be willing to take the whatever, like think of like a hilariously large number. I'd be willing to take the liability, make them like plus 9999999999. And I would still take the bets. Like, I'd be like, maybe I can get somebody to like toss me $20 that they might have a 0% chance. Because again, like even if they don't play the games, like Kansas is never winning a conference game like this year. It's just very, very, it's very, very unlikely. So their win total this year is one. It's one of the most hilarious win totals I've ever seen. It's actually the lowest win total, even for Kansas during this, you know, particularly awful decade that they've had. They've never had one as their win total before. And I just think that's really funny. If you look, kind of look at their underlying metrics, it looks like how Kansas has always looked. They don't recruit at a particularly high level. This team isn't bringing back a lot. The quarterback room isn't that good. They make a coaching change, Les Miles out, Lance Leipold, who coached Buffalo to a pretty good year a couple of years ago in, you know, is that the guy to kind of turn this around? Seems unlikely. It just kind of looks like a normal Kansas team. And then the way the schedule sets up, they are a massive underdog. And they're going to be two touchdowns or more in 9 of 12 games. They are not favored in basically anything except the opener against South Dakota. I haven't seen a number posted. That's like your shot. And this is a team that's lost to FCS teams and openers before under multiple different head coaches the last 5 or 6 years. I think this number is correct. I think the most likely finishing number for them is one, because either you get South Dakota, or you get a conference team randomly, like as an upset, the probabilities all kind of line up that way, where anything outside of one would actually be the most likely number after that is zero. But like, I think there's a lot of ones, actually, like a really a high number of ones. And I don't think this team can really outperform expectations a lot. It's kind of like Oppo Florida. We did Florida yesterday, ton of nines, a little bit of 10, a little bit of eight, but like so many nines. Kansas is so many ones. It's like so many ones, and it's like no threes, like none. It's just like maybe two, but there's like almost no threes in there. Like that's how compressed it is. That's how not volatile it is. How stationary it is, I guess would be the right word. Wouldn't bet Kansas. It's just a funny, it's a funny problem to try to solve. Like the worst team imaginable with a really low win total and a tough schedule when the conference is pretty good this year. Like, what do you do? What do you do in that situation? Pass would, I guess, be my answer to that question.
Yeah, not so good. And their counterpart in that state, Kansas State, last year finished with five straight losses at the end of the season. They finished with a record of 4-6.
Yeah, this is a bet that I gave out actually earlier, so I'll do it a little lighter than I was, you know, previously planning on. I bet the over on Kansas State. I would pay a lot for 5.5 instead of 6. This, just like Baylor, this team falls into a category of historically valuable teams, non-SEC power teams that are 5.5 or 5, go over at a very, very, very high rate. Bowl eligibility obviously matters a lot. And Kansas State has been a team historically, whether it's Bill Snyder forever and now Chris Klieman, that I honestly think you can't look too much at the raw metrics. That's what's creating the number. Like they're 5.5 instead of 7. Because you look at the talent score, you look at, you know, history. Last year, they went 4-5 in the conference. And you're just like, this has to be the right number. Like there just aren't enough players here for the number to be higher than that. And I think Klieman has done a great job of continuing the tradition of making all of those prognostications look terrible. His first year as head coach, win total was 5.5. They won 8. They upset Mississippi State early in the season. They played very, very well. I just think this is one of the only teams in the entire country where I'm willing to be like, as long as the numbers don't fall off a cliff from the last few years, they look like how, and this looks exactly like how Kansas State numbers normally look, I'm more than willing to bet over on a team if it's under 6, when this team just has this habit of doing this. It's like a culture thing, basically. And we'll do Oklahoma next segment, so I have the time to do that. And just a little more here, like, you know, it's awesome to be able to explain why a number is what it is and still be like, I still really like over. I know why the number is 5.5. Like you make numbers, Kansas State's going to be too big of a dog in almost every game that you make a number on. You know, games expected to win, expected to lose. I have them 3-6 with 3 games left. They would have to win them all to get there. But again, this is like the one team. I think the raw numbers do not tell the story of how to bet this team. That has never been the case, you know, with Snyder or with Klieman, where it's like, you make a raw power rating, you use recruiting averages. You're always going to hate Kansas State if you do that. And guess what? They go over all the time. They win 6 games all the time. This team has only won, if you throw out COVID year last year, which I'm more than willing to do, this team was 6 wins or more, like 13 of the last 14 years. I mean, it's just a culture thing. I think Klieman is continuing that. I'm going to play him kind of like how I played Snyder previously and over when the win total gets too low. That's what we have here. It's 5.5. I pay a lot for this. I pay like 70, 80 cents for over 5.5. I would bet over on Kansas State.
Ken Barkley continues to break down the Big 12. We'll start things off with Oklahoma, usually the best team in the conference and, well, the top team, and they have been for a long time. We're going to get back into them when we come back. Ken Barkley, Chris Ranji, it is You Better You Bet. You are listening to BetQL.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from the people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ken Barkley and Chris Ranji on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Ken continues to break down the Big 12 and the win totals. We left off at the University of Oklahoma, Ken.
Yeah, and this is, I think this is a pretty straightforward handicap. I went over some of this last week as just a bet that I liked. We did a little Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma were off to the SEC, maybe in a couple of years, maybe in 2025, we'll see. Oklahoma is that rare team this year that the teams that all recruit at an elite level, like really elite level, so Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, you know, Ohio State, teams like that, they're going to recruit really highly, but they're almost never going to have really good returning production because a lot of the guys that they recruit are going to go to the NFL early. And it's just high turnover schools. And it doesn't matter because they recruit so well, it doesn't matter. Oklahoma is that rare combination of, and it doesn't happen very often. LSU a couple of years ago, LSU this year is actually another example, a team that recruits at a really, really high level and then brings back a lot, just almost never happens. And when it does, it's tantalizing. And that's one of the reasons why so many people like Oklahoma this year, 76% returning production. It's basically the highest number I have for them, almost on record, combined with that same great recruiting. It's one of the reasons why when you read a lot of preseason magazines, you listen to a lot of, I saw a Mike Greenberg, like Get Up clip that was like, the Big 12's over, but like the other teams don't even know it yet. And I'm just like, oh no, are we doing this? This is unfortunate. Because I like Oklahoma a lot too. But I think the handicap's pretty straightforward. I think the win total of 11, although very, very high, one of the highest I have on record for Oklahoma, is justified. They will be more than a touchdown favorite in literally all 12 games that they play. They will be 2 touchdowns or more in 9 of the 12 games that they play. They're going to win a lot of games this year. The closest thing they have to a toss-up is they're 7.5 in the look-ahead market at home against Iowa State. They're 10 in the Red River Shootout against Texas, of course, on a neutral. And that's basically it. And then everything else, just a team really has to kind of jump up and bite them. Lincoln Riley teams historically sometimes drop an early game. They learn from their mistakes. They play better toward the back half of the year than they win the Big 12. It would not be surprising to me if they ended up kind of following the same pattern, even if they're better. Drop an early game, and then if they ever face that team again, forget it. That's kind of been the story of Lincoln Riley learning from his mistakes, right? So I think you could see something similar play out. I'm tempted to play the over at 11, but I do think there are some 10s in here, enough that things could kind of like, you know, I think the Big 12 as a conference is actually pretty good this year. I think there are teams that can give good games to teams like Oklahoma. And I don't really like betting over ever on a team when that win total is like not in line with decades of history of that team. Like think about Iowa State, the same thing. Like I'm going to bet over when it hasn't been 9.5 in the history of the school and the recruiting numbers haven't changed very much. Just tough to do. What I would rather do, and what I gave out the other day, is I'd rather bet Oklahoma to win the Big 12. I think it's safer. They can go 10-2 and they can lose 2 in conference and probably still make the title game a lot of the time and beat whoever the team above them is, probably Iowa State, probably Texas. Safer, and you're not paying that much more. Now you're starting to pay more because everyone's starting to bet this. Minus 200 would be my stopping point for sure. Would not, definitely not bet anything more than that on Oklahoma to win the Big 12. But there were minus 140s and minus 150s and minus 160s in a lot of places. There are still some of those out there. If the first digit is a 1, I'm pretty interested in betting Oklahoma to win the Big 12. I think they're going to win a lot. I don't want to bet them title, playoff, any of that stuff. I just don't think the value's there. They're among the favorites. All of those prices are really depressed. So I love Oklahoma. I think they're going to be awesome. I think they're going to win a ton of games. There's not really a way to bet that to take advantage of it other than I think the best way would be to bet them to win the conference.
Oklahoma State is 12-1 to win the conference. They went 8-3 last year overall.
Yeah, a tough team to bet under on for a lot of people. I hear this case all the time, and I don't really agree with it, but I thought I would just put it out there that the case for Oklahoma State most years is like, well, when you don't expect a lot from Mike Gundy, like that's when he gets you and that's when he wins like 10 games. And then when the expectations are really high, that's actually when they come in under. There's nothing about the history of win totals in Oklahoma State that actually bears that out. It's like the exact opposite. It's actually, no, you know what? You know what it is? Their win total is like between 7-9 every single year and they win about that many games. It's actually all it is. So I don't agree with that. So I would definitely throw that out. I have a bet on under 8 on this team. That's a bet I already have in. There are a couple reasons why I like that. If you go by likely wins, likely losses, spreads of 7 or more, underdog favorite using my numbers, they're 5-2 with 5 toss-up games left. So you have a lot of wiggle room for them to come under this number. 3-2 would push the number on the toss-ups. 4-1 needed to win. Some of the toss-ups that are involved, they have a very weird game early on, this home-and-home that they have with Boise State, obviously at Texas, at West Virginia, home against TCU, and at Texas Tech. A lot of the toss-up games against the comparable teams in the conference are on the road this year. That's terrible. Something else that's not very good, Spencer Sanders is going to be relied on a lot as a competent quarterback this year. Like they have Illingworth behind him. He played a little bit last year, but
I think if he plays a lot, I don't think they're ever going over this number. I think they need Spencer Sanders to play a lot, and he's been injury prone. Now, is that something that dogs somebody their entire career? Is it bad luck? We don't really know, but I don't like it when I see that, you know, a quarterback is injury prone, who has the skill set that he has. You know, I think they lost a little bit more than people are giving them credit for. If you look at elite returning production, so all conference players are better. They are way, way, way below the conference average, among the worst in the conference at that returning category. So I think that tells more of a story than just who's back for them this year. So I think at a win total of 8, they have to win. I mean, they can win all their toss-ups and they can go over this number. That could happen. Gundy's a pretty good coach. Sanders, pretty good quarterback. Just on average, what is the most likely outcome? A lot of 8s. You're going to push this a bunch. But I think 7 more likely than 9. My numbers bear that out. Under 8 for Oklahoma State.
TCU won 5 of their last 6 games to finish with 6 wins. They are also 12-1 to win the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, very weird team to try to figure out. I have not bet this yet. They are a team that I still don't really have a great idea what to do with. Duggan, their quarterback, is a quarterback in the conference. One of the few that I feel like I have not one clue what to do with. How do I rate him effectively? How much of last season do I take into account? Really, really tough. If I had to bet this number right now, I would bet over, mostly because of the schedule analysis. So likely wins, likely losses. TCU finds themselves with a win total of 7.5. I have them 7-2 with 3 games left. Any of these wins get them there. Home Texas, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma State. So they're at least around the number, maybe over it a little bit using my ratings. The problem is my ratings are obviously going to be heavily morphed or adjusted based on the play of the quarterback. And I just think Duggan's been a really hard quarterback to try to project going forward. Where does he fit? How would you have him ranked in the Big 12, even among a lot of his peers, versus Jared Daigie from West Virginia, versus Tyler Shuck from Texas Tech, who's coming in from Oregon? I just have a really hard time kind of encapsulating what I think he is. I think this is a pretty good TCU team. I don't think it's a great one. Maybe a little bit better than last year's version, basically, but pretty on par with a lot of Patterson teams. Patterson teams generally go in one of two directions. He doesn't win a lot of 7s, 8s, and 9s. He wins 5 or 6 and everyone's mad. And then he wins 11 or 10 and everyone's like, oh my God, where did that come from? It's like been the story of his career so far. I don't know which one I think this is going to be. I haven't bet it yet. Would probably lean over at the current number of 7.5 because I think the schedule breaks their way in a bunch of ways using my numbers. But no bet for me right now. Guys, lean over would be the right way to put it. Might add an over later, closer to the season.
We are making our way through the Big 12 here. We with 3 teams left to go. Texas is next. This team also won 6 games last year. Identical record to what TCU did. And for the upcoming season, 7-1 to win the conference.
I think one of the most difficult teams to figure out, and I don't feel that way about Texas normally. Normally, I feel like I want to bet under for as much money as I can possibly scrounge together, and normally I'm right, and I don't feel that way about this team at all. If anything, I actually feel like this team kind of might be getting slept on, and I can't believe I'm even saying that out loud. Some of the look-ahead markets for them are pretty crazy. Games that I have as, you know, either touchdown favorite or maybe 4 to 6 point favorite in the look-ahead markets are being lined like 1 or pick. Games against Oklahoma State, for example, stuff like that. And I think there's a version of this team talent-wise that's actually insane. Their 4-year recruiting average is the best since Mac Brown's final year in 2013. So the players are here, even if the returning production is pretty low. Again, remember what we say about returning production. If you recruit at a really high level, you know what you're never going to do? Bring back a lot. That's why Oklahoma's so rare this year. So there's this talent, you know, the version of Texas is still extremely talented, and the win total is 8. Just a bizarre situation, sort of functions like an LSU. I think there are some 6s here, some disappointing finishes. Hudson Card, if he starts a quarterback, what if he's not very good? What a name for a quarterback to. Huge recruit, but like, we don't know that they're going to get good quarterback play this year. We actually have no idea. Maybe it's Casey Thompson, but in either case, we really have no idea. And I think there's actually also some 11s in here. I think there's also like, when you have an uber talented team and you switch coaches and you switch quarterbacks, sometimes that just lights the fuse and the powder keg goes off. We've seen it happen with incredibly star-studded, you know, highly recruited teams in the past. So I think a lot of options are open. They're a little interesting to win the Big 12. I just think this is a great version of Oklahoma, so I don't really want to take a shot. I would not bet this. I bet Texas under. That's like in my blood that I bet Texas under and win total every year. And I don't want to bet this one under. So I think that should probably tell you something. Schedule wise, likely wins, likely losses. They're 7-2 with 3 games left. Basically split the baby, so they have to win 2 to go over. 1 pushes. Schedule analysis kind of signals this is the right number, but an extreme outcome team for sure. And I think LSU is a really good comp for them.
This team here has the second longest odds to win the conference, and not even close to what Kansas is, but they are 66-1. Last year, they did finish under 500 with a record of 4-6. They were 3-6 within their own conference. We're talking about Texas Tech here, Ken.
Yeah, this is this was a tough bet to put in. Let me tell you, this one hurt deeply. I mean, it really. This was I literally, as I'm clicking the button, go, and I talk to myself a lot. Chris, do you talk to yourself a lot?
Yeah, it depends, but yeah. I mean, maybe not as much as you do, but I do.
I have conversations with myself. I'll just be sitting in my office with the sliding door closed, and I'll just be having a conversation with myself, and nobody's listening, and I'm just sitting there.
Wait, are you answering yourself?
No, but I'm just like, it's usually me like frustrated with what I like, cannot believe what I'm doing, or like can't believe what I'm reading on the screen, like with an evaluation of a team, or yeah, or I'm having a conversation with someone on social media or something, like a friend, and I'll just in my head, I'll just be like, really? Like, that's what's happening right now? And I'm literally putting in a bet on over on Texas Tech at 5.5, going like, you moron, what are you doing? Like, why would you do this? This is such a tough team to figure out for a few reasons. It might not seem tough. I think a lot of people hate this team this year. You mentioned the long odds to win the Big 12. The win total is 5.5. We know how historically valuable those win totals are. That's one of the reasons why I would play over. I strongly dislike Matt Wells as a head coach. He's on a 6-year contract. This is year 3. First two haven't gone great. 4 wins.
This could be the end for him.
Well,
maybe.
It feels like that because of the moves that were made, right? So when you look at this team on paper, I don't think there's any question that he's not a great coach for this program. I don't think there's any question the recruiting has fallen off a cliff. This program's not going in a great direction long-term. That's what makes betting over this year particularly tough. But there are two key moves that happened that I think in combination could give like the mirage of a really successful team this year. Like a team that wins 7 where you're like, God, how did they even do that? And that would be Sonny Cumbie, who was the former TCU offensive coordinator, now in Texas Tech, which is a big deal, and does a great job working with quarterbacks. And they got Tyler Shuck to transfer from Oregon and play there instead of the 20 schools that wanted him to play for. The people who don't know, played for Oregon last year, most of the season, big time recruit. There is an offshore that has a market up for who the number one pick will be in the NFL draft for low limits. There are 10 players listed. Texas Tech's quarterback is one of those players. So, but you know, when we talk about ceiling and what a player can be, like, you may not like Tyler Shuck very much. Like, it is in play that he is awesome, that he is actually a phenomenal fit with this system, and that he has an offensive coordinator, as long as it ain't Matt Wells and Sonny Cumbie, that could actually kind of unlock, even for one season, what this could be. So I want to make a 2-year prediction, Chris, for Texas Tech.
Okay.
So like why would I bet the win total over this year when I could actually give you 2 win totals in one? My prediction is the Texas Tech is going to go over this number, maybe easily. Boy, that's a dangerous thing to say. 7-8 wins. And I am jamming their under the following season because the win total is going to be like 7.5 or 8. And this will be fool's gold. Like, it'll be just, I've seen this happen a lot of times. Year 3 of a head coach, drastic changes to try to win now, transfer quarterback, new offensive coordinator. In 1 year, you can kind of create the appearance that everything's going in the right direction, play out the rest of that contract or get an extension if your contract isn't that long, if you're a head coach. And then everything will fall apart. The recruiting numbers tell me this is falling apart. For this year only, I'm holding out hope that I don't think that's going to happen. So even though I was mad at myself as I was doing it, I feel like I can see this coming a mile away. 5 years ago, I would have jammed the under on this, and I know I would be frustrated the entire season watching it. Well, the recruiting is so bad. How could this happen? Like, 5.5s with teams like this almost always go over, and this is another one of them. So that quarterback OC combination, year 3 with Wells, I don't like them very much. I think they can produce 1 year of success before they fall off a cliff. So we will play over 5.5 reluctantly, but I do think it will hit.
You know, I believe in you. If that makes you feel better, I believe in you.
Well, I was talking to the air. I think the air believed in me too when I was talking in my office the other night as I put this in. This was a couple weeks ago, but yeah, I mean, I have these bets before, and it's like, I'm almost mad at myself putting them in. And like, honestly, I think my success rate on them is pretty high. The ones that I actually, at the time, it's like hold your nose bets, basically.
Final team here is West Virginia. They went 6-4 last year. They are 25-1 to win the conference. And this might be one of those teams, if everything goes right, they win 8 games. What do you think?
Yeah, totally agree with you. I don't have a bet on their win total, so this is an easy one to kind of end the segment with. I know we only have about a minute left. Really good comp for them, I feel like. Neil Brown, year 3, would be Kentucky this year. Kentucky every year, honestly. Kentucky finds themselves with like 9 toss-up games every year. They lose to the teams they're supposed to lose to, and then against the rest of the SEC, who knows, crazy stuff happens. It's always like a fun, like SEC Network 7 p.m. start time on Saturday night. You literally never have any idea. Maybe it's a terrible game, but usually it's a close game. Kentucky wins more of those than they lose. West Virginia's win total is 7 this year. Likely wins, likely losses. They are 2-3 with 7 toss-up games remaining. Basically everyone in the middle of the conference. I think this number is actually correct with that in mind. Looks like a normal West Virginia team. Nothing in the numbers is particularly striking. It's year 3 of Neil Brown, but like they're getting a bump in the market to a win total of 7 anyway. I think you can comfortably pass this. A lot of options are in play. I mean, they're going to flip coins 7 times. They need like 4 or 5 of them to hit the number. They probably get it more often than not, but like not something I want to bet into. I think it's like a pretty good number.
2 conferences down out of the Power 5. We'll get to the rest of the power conferences over the next few days with Ken Barkley, who breaks down all the win totals and is phenomenal at doing so. So you're going to want to listen all week here on You Better You Bet. We'll talk some golf next. James Mazzola, a pro golf bettor, will be visiting us here in a moment. You're listening to Ken and Chris on You Better You Bet on BetQL.
How should you bet tonight's player props? The prop king, Nick Kostos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.